are acutely aware of the limitations of our minds and our hearts to deliver as well as to receive this marvelous word, the word of the living God. And so we humble ourselves afresh, and I in particular, I strip myself of any confidence I may have in what I know, what I prepare. All of that matters nothing now. I beseech you, I beg you for mercy to bring forth this word faithfully. I ask you to pour out upon me a fresh anointing of your mercy. Mercy to break through this word. Let there be a free flow of your word from you through me to the people without any hindrance, that the word would go forth in accuracy, in power, in clarity, yet in simplicity and in the love and the comfort of your spirit, doing an eternal, internal work in hearts and lives of all that hear it, whether here physically, myself included, or those who hear it remotely by other means, Lord God, that wherever this word goes in all the earth, your power will back it to make men hearers and doers of the things which they hear and bring forth a blessing in their lives in Jesus' name. I also ask you, help me to be concise, help me to be precise at the same time, not saying anything unnecessary, bringing forth out of the treasure of your word things both old and new, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, that as I speak, your power and your presence will fill the air, breaking every yoke, meeting every need, causing our minds to be more enlightened by the revelation knowledge of your word, our wills to be more humble, submitted to your will, and therefore, Lord God, our emotions also to be more tempered and controlled by the fruit of your spirit, especially love, in Jesus' name. I also ask, Lord God, for the anointings of mantles of my fathers to be upon me. I humble myself under their covering, and I take upon their mantles, help me to preach and deliver this word as they would, when they hear personally, as I speak. Let the word go forth as a river of refreshing to all of us, but especially to them. So as they eat and drink of this vine they have planted, they will be truly satisfied abundantly with the travail of their souls. Amen. I thank you, Lord, because once again you will not lie to me. You will not alter the thing that has gone out of your mouth. Your words stand sure. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Again, it's a privilege. I mean, to bring a message today which came to me as I was meditating and preparing, and it came to me in a very interesting way. First of all, it's a message which I believe is a message for this season. And it came more as a question of some of the thoughts I was thinking. In fact, when I got the message, I was like, how can I preach something like that? But over time, as I began to just pray, to meditate, and to just ask the Lord, it came to what I'm going to now bring forth by the help of the Holy Spirit. And I believe it's a consequence of, well, it is rather a consequence of a blessed experience which I had. And I felt that the Lord would want us to bring it forth as a source of challenge, and also to encourage and to strengthen others who are doing the same thing and who are not yet publicly known. Amen. Ordinarily, I don't preach, you know, experiences, because that's not how the Lord has taught us in this house. I rarely bring experiences, except maybe to illustrate or to buttress, but to actually bring a message around an experience I had, a wonderful, blessed experience, no doubt. You'll see as I go on. But to actually do that was a bit of a challenge for me myself. But what happens, the Lord gradually began to add scripture. How many people know the Lord is gracious and good? He actually began to add scriptures and add a scripture and say, see it this way, see it that way. Well, here we have a message, and I'm trusting the Lord will help to bring it forth with precision in Jesus' name. Amen. So the word the Lord gave me, I believe, dovetails beautifully with the experience that he also gave me. And I'm going to bring it forth now. And we're going to be starting from the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy has been featuring quite a bit these past few days. Amen? And like I was saying in the Bible study, this book of Deuteronomy, all of us should know that it has to do with the days before, or just the season when the people of Israel, the children of Israel, were about to enter into the promised land. And what happened was that they camped on the eastern border of the river Jordan. And Moses, the prophet that had been raised up to them, was giving them an overview of what had happened to bring them to where they were. All of them, grew up in the wilderness. Many of them didn't see Egypt, but they grew up in the wilderness under the cloud and under the fiery pillar. Can you imagine that? Every day for 40 years. Light by a fiery pillar. Who put it there? In the afternoon, a cloud as high as the sky can tell you. Who put it there? In the immediate presence of God. This is how they grew up. But there was a purpose for them. They were not just to stay in the wilderness. It was just a question of, you know, going across. They could have done that in 11 days, but because of the transgression of their fathers, God forbid, they were not able to enter until 40 years. So here they were, camped, a new generation of Israelites. I'm saying Israel also represents the church. In the book of Acts, it talks about the church in the wilderness. Amen? So it's a place where they were, the banks of the river Jordan. Jordan also represents dying to self. We're talking prophetically this morning, so put your prophetic caps on. Somebody pat your head and say, I put on my prophetic cap this morning. Eh? You see by the spirit of prophecy in Jesus' name. Amen. So prophetically, this portion in this book that we've got to read in book of Deuteronomy is also a type of instruction, a type of overview for us. This new generation of spiritual Israel, who by the grace and mercy of God have gone beyond the ways of the early fathers, who saw only Pentecost and the giving of the Spirit in earnest, now have pressed on by the help of the Holy Spirit into tabernacles, perfecting and casting out the sin nature, and begin to perfect, develop, and perfect the love of God in our lives. So we enter into tabernacles, a brand new phase of existence as a Christian body. And by developing, perfecting the character of God, by the blood, by the word, and by the spirit, we now stand on the verge of the greatest outpouring in human history of the Spirit of God. We are on the verge of entering into what for them was a land of promise, a physical land. But for us, it's a land of promise, a land wherein mighty deeds and mighty works will break forth all over the church. And that's where we are now. The outpouring of the Spirit, what we call the Spirit without measure, including the fullness of the mind of Christ, all those marvelous skills, computation, incredible. Don't forget that word incredible, because men will not believe it when it happens. Even you that is going to, you that is happening through you yourself, you won't even believe it too. Incredible computational skills, incredible language skills, incredible artistic skills, incredible photographic memory, incredible musical skills. All this is poised to be manifest through us now. And Moses is speaking to us from this portion of scripture. Amen? Now, we've got all that in the background. Let's now go to Deuteronomy chapter 11. So interesting. Yesterday I was preaching from Deuteronomy chapter 10 by the word of the Lord. And then now here we were in chapter 11. But chapter 11, Deuteronomy chapter 11, and we'll start to read from the 8th verse. Help me, Lord, please. So therefore shall you keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land whither you go in to possess it. How many of you know that it takes spiritual strength to possess this land? It's not for babies. Well, babies can drink from their fathers. Babies can be piggybacked in. But those that enter in will be men. Because it's only men that know their God that will be strong enough to do the exploits in this land. Amen. New generation. New day, folks. New land ahead. Amen. So, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land whither ye go to possess it. Verse 9. And that you may prolong your days. So it's not just going to go into the land, but to remain there. They're not just going there for a visit. It's your home. It's where you're going to play. It's your place of habitation. God has chosen a place of rest for himself. And he's come to tabernacle with you and in you and through you and bring you into a rest. A place of rest, folks. You're going to be there a long time. You and your generations. Glory to God. And may we prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give unto you and to their seed. A land that floweth with milk and honey. I'm not going to elaborate on that. We know what that means. More than you could ever imagine. Milk and honey. Prosperity, pleasure. Great stuff. For the land, okay, verse 11 now. But the land where you go to possess. Let's read it. Verse 10. I'm sorry, I missed skip verse 10. That's good. So for the land where thou goest in to possess it, is not as the land of Egypt, where you're coming from, whence you came out, where you sowed your seed and watered it with your foot as a garden of herbs. Let's not go into that. But the land whither you go to possess it, that's where we're going. Keep your eyes focused. Focus forward. is a land of hills and valleys that drinketh water of the rain of heaven. Not an ordinary land. The rain of God. Now, don't think physically. We know there's rain. When he's talking here about rain, he's talking about the doctrine from the throne of grace. Rain is teaching. Rain is a doctrine, the teaching of the perfection of the fullness of Christ, the teaching of the heavenly kingdom, the teaching of how to possess eternally the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Permanently. That's what he's talking about. Any kind of land. This land is not like Egypt. This land is not like the wilderness. It has hills and rolling hills. And you're going to possess it. And you drink of the rain of heaven. Shakarawa. Verse 12. I love this one. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. In other words, this land, the person that is looking after it for you and for me, keeping it, is God himself. He did not allow anybody else in that land before you and I. You are going to be the first of the first fruit to possess the land. And God has been keeping this land for us. Waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Waiting for a company, a people that were going to take that possession. God has been caring and tending the land. Waiting. And the time has come. So he says, and let me know that God cares for the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. From the beginning of the year, even to the end of the year. All this is what the land is. It's a goodly land. It's a land that prospers. It's a land full of water, of heaven, the rain of heaven. A land God himself has reserved. A land God has made and prepared for his people to come in and possess. So, now, this is the land. So what happens now? From now, all this is right in the scandal. Now, from verse 13, we begin to see how we're going to possess the land. So from verse 13, this is the key to going in to possess this land. Let's read verse 13 now. Help me, Lord. And it shall come to pass, if, everybody shout, if. Conditionality. You will fulfill the condition in Jesus' name. If you shall hearken, not just hearken, but hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day. To do what? To love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul. I will give you the rain of your land in his due season. The first and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and what? Thine oil. So, what does he say? Oh, help me, Lord. He's talking about this time. He's using euphemism. This is the prophetic word that Joel seconded in his own time when he was preaching his word. Amen? Verse 14, he said, we through obedience to the commandments of God, the love of God, the love for God, will receive the outpouring of the former and the latter rain together in our land, like in Joel. Give me Joel chapter 2, 23. He's talking about Zion, folks. Get excited. Amen. We're here now. Joel 2:23, quickly. Joel, please. Be glad. You don't look like you're glad to me. Give a cloud a clap, somebody. Be glad then, he says. When the time to go to land has come. This time. This day. Says, be glad then. Who? Children of Zion. And rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has done what? Giving you the former rain and the latter rain. Can we quickly move and shuck away? Keep back up. And give me the former rain. Yes, okay, let's go. Moderately. And will cause to come down for you the rain. This is what he's thinking about. The former rain and the latter rain in the first or first month, whatever. Next verse. And the floors, that's what he's talking about here. And the floors shall be full of what? Wheat. And the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. Next verse. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankworm, the caterpillar, and the power of my great army, which I sent amongst you. Next verse. And you shall do what? Eat in plenty. And be satisfied. And do what? Praise. So eat, be satisfied, and praise. The Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you. And get this. And my people, who are the Lord's people here? If you are God's people, says, shall never. That's a strong word, but it's the word of the Lord. Never be ashamed. Hallelujah. Next verse again. And now you know that I'm in the midst of Israel, and I'm the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. Twice in two verses, he says, you will never be ashamed. And the Bible says, the book of Genesis, when the Lord was, Joseph, thank you, was interpreting the dream. He said that the thing is doubled twice, means that it is established, and that God will surely bring it to pass. You will never be ashamed again. In this land, though, we shall enter. In fact, God will remove every shame and everything that has brought shame to the word of God. Amen. The Bible says, the mouth of true or three witnesses, every word is established. This, my people shall never be ashamed, is established. In this day, in this season. So God is about to set now and wipe away every reproach. Take away the shame of his people. The church didn't have had shame. That's true. There's been shame. People look at the church now, they think we are nuisances. But as we enter this land, in this land, though, all that shame will disappear. They will stand up and see a brand new generation. Who are these ones? The sons of God. The sons of God. God is about to unleash a new breed of Christian and a new kind of church upon the earth. No more forsaken, no more termed desolate, but now called Hephzibah and Beulah. A delightsome land that all nations seek after. And they will come to the heights of Mount Zion to come to learn of the ways of the God of Jacob, to walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. But the key to all this greatness is in verse 13. Because I'm getting excited. Good to get excited with that. Remember, there's always a conditionality. What does it say? Verse 13. And it shall come, all this, let me rephrase it prophetically now. Verse 13, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13. And all this shall come to pass if you hearken diligently to my commandments, which I command you this day, to love your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. That's it. The same thing in Mark chapter 12. Even in Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Same difference. The same thing he's talking about here. Mark chapter 12, 28, quickly. Yes. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reason together, perceiving that he answered, and he said, which is the first commandment of all? Next verse. And the Lord Jesus answered, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel. First, we've got to open your ears to hear, and your heart to hear. You don't just hear anyhow. It depends on how you hear, as you'll understand. Said, the Lord our God is one Lord. Next verse. And thou shalt do what? Love the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Next verse. And the second is like it, even thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other greater commandment than these. So what are we saying? What I'm trying to bring out here is that the love of God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, all thy strength is inextricably linked to God's love for the men that we see, his creation. In other words, divine love. The God kind of love is always first directed towards God and then directed towards his beloved creation, his masterpiece, the sons of men. Amen? Let's buttress this again. First John chapter 4, verse 20. This is how God began to convince me that he was talking to me. Because when God, you know, speaks, he always speaks in scripture. So these are, I was just writing them down, picking them one by one, very late yesterday. God had mercy. Look at this. First John 4, 20. Hallelujah. We're talking about the love of God being inextricably linked to the love of men. If a man say, let's read it together. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. Says what? For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? This is you know, we know these things. But you see, when God begins to bring them to us in a different light, we begin to see that, perhaps what we think we are doing is not so clear after all. In other words, we think we love God, but how much of that love of God are you showing to men? How much of that love do you demonstrate on a daily basis to God's creation? The Bible says, he who loveth, verse 21, give me verse 21. And this commandment have we from him. That he, how many of you love God here? Okay, you love God. Thank God for that. But look what the commandment of God to you says, that he who says he loves God, love his brother also. Give me this in NIV. That's what it says. Oh, glory to God. Are we getting something out of this? You see, it's good to say, I love God, I love you, Lord. Greater than anything. Oh, do call. I love the song myself. But there's an outworking. Look, and he has given us this command. Whoever loves God, and all of us here put up our hands, or at least most of us did, must what? Also love his brother. You cannot say I love God if you don't love your brother. And we're talking divine love, oh, not human sympathy. Divine love that has divine compassion, has divine wisdom and divine power. Otherwise, you don't love God. That's what God said. I didn't say that. This is the command God gave us. He who loveth God, love his brother also. Give me John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 and 3. To butter us up again. 1 John 5, 1 and 3. Just flow down. Whosoever believeth, verse 1. Everyone, no, change back to KJV. If I need anything, I'll let you know. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Thank God we're born. Now, look what it says. And everyone that loveth him that begat, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, God, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Let's see this in NIV. NIV. 1 John 5, 1. NIV. Let me see what it says. Everyone who believes that Jesus the Christ is born of God, everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. Hello, somebody. It sounds very simplistic, but it's the truth. You see, the simple thing, God is the simple things of God. God is not complex. He's easy to understand. When you're having all these arguments in your head about God, and God, the Bible talks about the simplicity of the gospel. Love God. If you love God, you love men who are created in his image and his likeness. And it is your push. Like Jesus said, I'm getting ahead of myself. He said, it's your love for yourselves that men will know that you're my disciples and you're like me. You're going somewhere with all this. So this is the commandment. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, the Bible says. And the Bible says in 1 John 3, 23, this is his commandment, that we believe on the name of Jesus Christ. And he says, and love one another as he gave us commandment. How did he give you commandment? As he had loved you. So we love. The essence of what I'm trying to say is this. The scripture is saying that the way we will know for certainty that we love God is by keeping his, and that we keep his commandments, like, because we keep his commandments, God's divine love is perfected in us. Amen. The Bible says, whosoever keeps his word, him verily is the love of God perfected. And not only that, by loving God and keeping his commandments, we know that we love God's children, and because we keep his commandments. In other words, keeping God's commandments is what causes us to have the love of God perfected in us, and which also enables us to love the way that God loves his people. And so we love God the way God loves them. That's how we know that we're in love with God. That's how we know we're growing in love. It's not by looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, yeah, I'm actually growing on. Hello, you know what? It's not even by doing everything correctly. It's not even by, you know something? Some of us are like that. You do all the thing one by one, by precept. But we had a particular person, I'm not going to name it, but there's something like, before, you know, this, we used, in those days, we used to mark these charts. Thank God for God. Thank God for my God. Keeping the love. You mark your prayer, mark your confessions on the hour, every hour. Some people are not here then. My God has mellowed. On the hour, every hour. Then you calculate your percentage at the end of the, I think it was every week. They will give out the papers every Sunday. You go through that week. If you make your confession at 12 o'clock, it's 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, all the way down. Oh boy. You see, I'm laughing. I did my best. By the way, you get at least 70%. Well, I hovered around there. Almost in my dear, but I'm not, all of you, all go 100%. Okay, all right. But you know, people will go, they will mark. I don't know, hey, I'm missing now. You know, you collect that, you are an overseer. And you see, all the whole sheet is full of tick, 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 tack, 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 tack. So you just put it, take your own sheet. You just bring your sheet out and you just put it somewhere so that Pastor G will shape Google Confession last week. But you know what? That's not it. It's good to obey fully. It's good to comply with instruction, but that is not what makes you perfect. The heart. Hello, somebody. I can say many of those guys, because I'm looking at someone that's still here. Many of the people who went through that phase are no longer here. By the grace of God, I'm still here. Because I heard in a different way by the grace of God. Amen. And then by the grace of God, one will demonstrate this thing as much as God enables us, and you begin to grow. It's not the doing, it's the exercise. One is always saying that exercise. So, where are we going here? The love of God. So, by loving God, keeping His commandments, we know we love God's children, and because we keep His commandments, His divine love is reproduced in us, and we use that love to love the sons of men. So, in other words, the outworking of God's love in us is what we demonstrate and show to men in times of need, doing what God would do in every situation, discerning by divine wisdom, moving by divine compassion. Compassion is not feeling sorry, it's feeling what God feels for that person, and then moving accordingly. Amen. Everything, Lord Jesus, was by compassion. That's why His God love. God love perfected to show God's love shown to the world. I can't remember that song now. You know, God's love shown to the world. Amen. Divine power, God will do in every, because God is love. So we cannot say we love God if it's not outwardly demonstrated in a manner towards men in daily interaction. That's what we're getting at. We're going to say 1 John 3:16. I will just quote it. By this we perceive the love of God, because He laid His life down for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Are we getting something out of this? Thank you. Now, give me the next verse on this. I think there's something that is shooting out there. This is it. It says, "But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have any..." Hello, sir. It may be good, or it may just be good. You know what I'm saying? It may be a physical good, an item, or just being good in this world. Which means just by our action. Even just a pat on the back sometimes is more than enough. Even Justin, I'm with you, man. I got your back. That is a good word. Makes the heart glad. Just a good word sometimes. Just show a little bit of love, concern, and care. You know? It says, "And seeth his brother have need, and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" Now, you ask the question, Pastor G, where are you going with all this? Why are you... First of all, let's keep it in context. There's a reason why I'm saying all this. Because, like I said, I had a wonderful experience. Let's keep it in context where we began this message, which was in Deuteronomy chapter 11, a new breed of God loving, God serving people, serving God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, using that key to possess this new land that is ahead by reason of the development of and perfection of the love of God in our lives. Amen? We... brand new Christian, new breed Christians, also known as the Zion Church, want to enter this land and possess it. The land of perfection, the fullness of the Spirit, without which we will not be able to do the work we want to do, and the mighty works that are going to be done through us in this season of grace. So what is going to mark us out is this divine love. Not just love for God. Anybody can say I love God, but when you love God, you manifest it by loving people, even those who are unlovely. The Bible says God makes the rain to fall upon the good and the bad. He says if you love people that love you, what reward do you have? When you love the person that is totally unlovely, and you allow them to despitefully use you and persecute you, and you still pray for them, he said, then you have been like God. Then you can say, I'm getting perfected. And there's some strong people out there. Amen. When they present themselves, you know that this one was sent to me. And mommy and pastor is like to be your sandpaper. To try you and test you in all points like the Lord Jesus was. That you might be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Count it all joy. Amen. I said, by this shall men know that you are my disciples if you have loved one towards another. Amen. So brethren, I have a testimony today. All this is leading to this point. And this is where the message came to me. I said, but I can't preach this. I said, be done. What's wrong with you? Listen. So I started filling in. But I have a testimony on this matter. Now, I don't want to embarrass anybody. That's not the point here. So I'm not going to mention names. I'm not going to say anything. By the grace of God, it will not slip from my mouth by the Spirit. I will never embarrass anybody here today. But I have to say this because it really touched my heart. Amen. When I think about it, you know, it actually almost brings tears to my eyes. I just want to thank God for the words that we hear in this place. They're not falling on deaf ears. The ground is fertile. Somebody showed me love yesterday. Now, all of us know I'm planning my father's funeral. Many of us do, but maybe all of us, but many of us do know I'm planning my father's funeral. And really, it got to a point when I was up to here. And I was like, God, how am I going to do all this? There was so much to do. Thank God for my wife who's carrying most of the load, you know. She's running herself up and down. And with all this, we're planning there. You know, in addition to that, with so many other things I had to do. I had to travel, came back, I had to prepare for, you know. So many things were going on. They were all coming. And people were coming. I mean, left, right, and center. I just wanted to run. I said, Lord, help me now. Send somebody. Yesterday, I had to go and secure my father's resting place. I tried to do it by proxy because I knew it was going to be difficult. When we traveled on Thursday, we traveled on Thursday, I called him and said, please, let me send somebody to collect this thing. We're going to get it passed to the cemetery and, you know, the vault and all that. And I said, I know you have to come. I said, please, let me send my wife. He said, my wife cannot come. I said, my wife is me, my me. No, it has to be you. Only you can do it. I'm on my way to Kogi State. Please help me. I said, no. As we are coming back, they called me again. Said, we are closing now. Please come and collect this thing. Otherwise, we can go to the Monday. I said, please. Monday is too late. Help me now. Even when we go to bank, people can arrange that you go back and you regularize later. I mean, we're not even asking for money, just a gate pass. The woman was strong, man. I begged her. I said, okay. The only thing I can do for you is this. Just make sure you come and you sign for it. I will keep it with the sextant or the sexton or whatever. Anyway, so I came back. And then we now came for the wedding and, you know, everything. And I asked somebody, I said, look, I need your help. And, you know, it wasn't even for that as such, but it was for just, you know, I wanted to show him my father's resting place and say, look, just help me take care of this place. Anyway, to cut a long story short, the man comes after waiting. I said, I said, okay, I'm waiting. But I didn't remember that I had work to do with somebody else. So we sat down with that word. Believe me, we're there for at least an hour. And I said, oh God, I made a mistake. Oh, I shouldn't have kept. I was feeling bad. But I had to do it. Nobody else would do it. Nobody else could do it. I wrote it. So I had to look at it and, you know, check. And, you know, boy, when I walked out after, I was feeling really, oh my goodness. And this guy was sitting in the car waiting for me for 1 hour. He didn't come and say, Pastor G, yes, you know. He didn't call my phone. He didn't even say that. Ever since, you see, what are we doing there? He just waited. And he just sat there. And I said, my God, this is too much. Oh, dear Lord, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. And you know what made it even worse? Well, not worse than that, but what made it even more compelling to me was that he had all his children in the car. And they were waiting outside. Now, you say, you know, the car was there. But how did I try to wait in one spot with three children in the back seat before? And you hear word, Daddy, let's go. Where are we going home? I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I want to wee wee. But this guy not so. He showed me the car. When I got there, I was carrying bags. I'm telling you a story. I really like this. I'm telling you what God did for me. You know, I was carrying bags. And they were carrying bags for me. And I thought, I said, put them in the boot. And I said, no, put them in the back seat. Put the children in the back seat. You know, one of the children got up and just took my bag and put it on his lap. I said, put it in the boot. He said, no, he'll carry. So I got in. And we started the journey. Now, it was just supposed to be a journey over there, Jokodo. But I said, look, I need to go and sign for this thing. Please take me. My car was not here. My car was doing other errands. My wife was all over the place, you know. And he took me at his own expense. And I saw him do it with such love. This was not a short journey. He drove me all the way to the other side of town. Waited for me to conduct my business. And also, I was just saying, God, I'm taking this guy's time. Please help me. Help me. But some of you are sometimes when things just unfold rather slowly. So we sat there, not a whiff of complaint. And I was testing his heart all the time. I was trying to pick when I would get to the end. You know, so you have to be very careful. So you don't get to the end of their tether. And then you start imposing on them. And I'll say, hey, oh Lord, if I walk this way, then can you bring me back all the way here? Not a week. The children, sometimes they were asleep for some time and they woke up. Three children are, you know, in the car. But you know, not one of them made a noise. Not a noise. Nothing. If they said anything at all, even maybe once. Just ask daddy, where's mommy? Drove me all the way back. Not even. And then we got that place. Now I saw authority. So we went to the guy who was, you know, doing the cemetery. We began to talk. He said, Pastor, just stay here. I'll talk to this guy. So, you know, my legs were already hurting. I sat down on one of the cemeteries out there. I just sat there. And the guy took them around. We were there for over 40 minutes. He set everything in order. I saw a man of authority speak to somebody I had never seen before. And I was just saying, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Why? This man is under authority. He was exercising authority because he himself was a man under authority. And all this he did without a whiff of, I need to go. All the time was me. Not once did I felt he was impatient or that he had anything to do, even though I knew he had other things to do. Very busy man. Very, very busy. He had other things to do. I said, Lord, this is great. This is fantastic. Now, you might think it's a small thing. For when you have a specific need, a specific desire, and God fills it, you sing God. I thank God. I give that applause to God because he's the one that did it. And I want to honor God and honor this guy. I can't say his name, but he knows himself. But I tell you, my God, that was an angel to me. That is love in action. Laying down your own life. And you know the beautiful thing about it, the thing that really got to me? Two things. Number one, his children were in the car. They didn't hear one word. And because he didn't say anything, they were silent. I said, these are children. But they were under authority. It says, you know, that the shepherd, bishop, must have his home in subjection with all. They did not make a noise. They just followed the example of their dad. And just kept crying. The dad was carrying my bag out of his lap. You know, the thing would roll over, he'd hold on to it. I said, God, what kind of children are these? Not a whiff. And then to cry, oh, there's another man inside there. I'm not sure there's a regular employee, but I think he's an employee. That guy also, throughout the time with them, just kept silent. Didn't say a word. There was nothing. He stayed with the children while, you know, we were outside. But not a word of complaint. He just talked under the covering of that man. Guys, his family in control. And he now blessed me so much so. Everything I wanted to do, he did it and more. Till today, I don't even know what happened between him and that guy. He said, "Boss, I'll take care of it." What am I saying? Oops. It's good to say you love God. Other people will do something like that to him. I mean, I'm sure there are people that will help. But you know how most, and it's a failing that we're going to have to correct over time. To give that patience to do what God. Reminds me of that guy who went to the Lord Jesus Christ when he was talking to that lady at the well. He said, "My meat is to do the will of God and to finish." He did the will of God towards me that day and he finished it completely. And I give God all the glory for that. What are we saying, folks? When you love men, when you say you love God, you also love men. You know, some people will do it, but you know, after a while they look at their watch. Or you'll see them take their phone and keep going out and come back. Okay. Because sister, no problem, sir. What is the person that you're waiting for supposed to feel when he sees you doing all that? This guy, he had phones too. Nobody called him. Just put his phone aside. Did nothing. I said, "Me, Lord? You did this for me? I'm grateful." So I want to honor God and also honor thy fellow. He doesn't know about this. He doesn't know anything about it. But I was just meditating last night. And I was thanking God for this attitude. This man who was not fidgety or impatient, who was not looking to do something else, just, you know, folks, we're going to close. It's not the hearers, it's not the talkers, it's those that are doers that are blessed. Someone like this I've just described is possessing that territory we talk about. Believe me, when the anointing comes, there's no doubt in my mind whatsoever. And the glorious legacy he's leaving for his children. The Bible says the servant is the greatest. The one who lays down his life for the others without complaint, without grumbling, without looking for something, and without seeking his own will, is the one that loves God as God says. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments and love men even as he has loved us. Beloved, let's close my message. These things are a challenge for all of us. Possess perfect divine love, the heart of true humility. Folks, it's not the hours we spend in prayer. I spend a lot of hours in prayer. By the grace of God. That's not it. Amen? It's the heart that attracts the grace upon what you do in your place of prayer. Even if it's only 1 hour. It's the heart that attracts that heart of humility, submission, and meekness. And it's only God that sees that. Hello, someone. The only way we will see it is like I saw it yesterday when I saw it in manifestation in my situation. And I give God the glory. Finally, how do you get this heart? Very simple. Just read the scripture. Obey his commandments. Perfect love. Bible says that whosoever keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Bible says to keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. And the Lord gave you a word for us. Jordan is ahead. You're going to have to humble your soul with fasting. It's not of him that winneth, it's not of him that runneth. But God that shows mercy. Let's speak to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. This is a word that, as I said, it really touched my heart. I want to thank God for counting me worthy to experience the divine love that I experienced yesterday. God has done other things, but this one really touched me because it was a need, a specific need that I needed at that time. And God used this angel to meet it for me. And we're all going to have to do that too for each of our fellow men that God sends us to. Divine love. Question came to my mind, you know, say a lot of other people try and do it. Why do they not succeed? Because it's not done in divine love. I says, even though you give your body to be burned, and you have not love, it doesn't profit. They speak with the tongues of men and angels and do all these things, it doesn't profit. Because it's not divine. But this is divine love. It's undercover, it's submitted, it's not emotional love, it's not compassion, there's no emotion involved. Was just doing what God asked him to do. And he was doing it with all of his heart, all of his strength. He was bringing refreshing. refreshing and a touch of the love of God. There's some needy heart and some needy life. We ought to copy this example. Lord, give us understanding as we possess this land. In Jesus' name. Teach us your ways,
Lord.
Father, we confess our sins, and so we cling with the blood in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that has come this morning, this afternoon, reminding me of this season which we are in which we are to go in to possess the land, by perfecting the love of God in our lives, by the blood, by the word, and by the Spirit, humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, keeping your word and your commandments, so that verily your love is perfected in us. I also understand that it is the will of God for me to enter this land. But Lord, I understand that the key is perfecting divine love and showing that divine love, because I love God, to other men. This is the love of God. I will keep his commandments, and I will love him that is begotten by whom he begat. And so we love God, and we also love our brethren also. And so thank you, Lord, because, Lord, in this day you are helping. I ask for fresh mercy. And Lord, but I will not just say with my mouth that I love God, but I will demonstrate that love by the power of the Spirit, through divine wisdom, through divine compassion, feeling what God feels, and then responding by the power of the Spirit in love. So that love for you that I have, O God, that is being perfected in me, be demonstrated unto those around me and those beyond this place as I grow into the fullness of Christ. Heavenly Father, this is what I ask. Help me to have divine wisdom, to have divine compassion, to have divine power, to do in love what you would do to my brethren and others in every situation by your divine love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray this way. We say, God, I pray over to be set up. Mire, malo sekelo baya bale sekonto didi bila makanda. Ribele baraka kusalande. Ribele kala solo sekelo kala. Ramale bekeze kata sakas. In Jesus' name. Let your hands with someone's with us. Under the covering of the fathers, the Lord bless and keep us all. And the Lord make his face to shine upon us. Lord, lift up the light of his countenance upon us. May the Lord our God give us peace. God make us head and not tail. We are head and not tail. We are above only and not beneath. And so we prosper in all that we set our hands to do. We are at least 10 times better than our peers by an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds in the name of Jesus. And so we possess the gates of our enemies, even the gates of death. So we shall live and not die. We shall live and not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The Lord satisfies us with all life. And he shows us his salvation, the perfection and the fullness of Christ in Jesus' name. And so the Lord imparts unto us, under the covering of our fathers, the advantages of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John, in Jesus' name, amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell your neighbor, you go in to possess the land by divine love. In Jesus' name. God bless you all.